1 Corinthians chapter number 7, I want to put in verse 29. We looked at this into the year of 09. We looked at some passage here, some scripture here. And I'm going to use some of the same material, but to go a little slightly different direction. We visited this over the years, every two or three years, we've dropped in on this passage. The Bible says, verse 29, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." That's my title, "The Shortness of Time." Would everybody here agree that the time is short? The time is short. "It remaineth that both they that have wives be as they have none, and they that wept as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." The shortness of time. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we pray you'd help us this morning. May you anoint us, and may, Lord, we be a vessel fit for your service. Recall to those things our hearts and minds, our Lord, that you've impressed upon us. And Lord, withhold those things that be contrary to your will and the mind of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. Of course, in this passage, it talks of one of the things it talks about is marriage, and talking about the time being short. Do you realize that mankind has spent most of his effort on inventing things to save time? Is that right? Well, think about it. I mean, the automobile was invented 125 years ago by Mercedes-Benz to save time. It would outrun a horse and buggy. It would save time. The airplane was invented to save time. And of course, now airplanes jet back and forth. We came under, literally under the runway at Atlanta yesterday. And we came in last night, and one was coming in to Asheville as we come by the airport. And Colin, you know, said, "I said, Papa, is that the same airplane we saw leave Atlanta?" And I said, "No, son, I may be coming from Atlanta, but that ain't the same one." He said, "How come?" I said, "We've been on the road 4 hours from the airport. We've been on the road 4 hours. And it takes about 12 to 15 minutes to fly from Atlanta to Asheville. It is so fast that they do beverage service, and they're taking them up before you can get it drunk. If you're sitting in the back of the airplane, you can't even hardly drink a drink. That's how fast it is. It climbs straight up and starts landing. And I mean, that's exactly the way it comes. It comes straight up and it starts straight back down. And when you hit about the Hartwell right in that area, they start descending, and here they come in. So I have flown from Greenville to Atlanta in 12 minutes one time. We were late departing, and so they took off, and that fellow was laying the coal to it all the way in, and got into his slot. So everything that man has invented, he's invented to save time. And of course, all of us have the same amount of time. If you spend 8 hours a day working, that's if you spend 8 hours a day sleeping, that's 40 hours in a five-day week. You spend roughly, if you have 8 hours a day times 20 days in a month, you spend 160 hours at work. If you were to do the same thing, you figure up your time. All of us have the same amount of time. Actually, if you figure up 24 hours in a day, and you figured it average on a 30-day month, that's about 720 hours a month that all of us have. If you take the 365 and you multiply that times 24 hours, each of us has 8,760 hours per year. And yet, as I get older, you know the most valuable thing that I have is time. Because time is moving so quickly, I'm realizing, there's a whole lot of things I want to get done, but if I ain't careful, time's going to slip up on me and I'm not going to be able to do them. And time seems like it's just getting faster and faster and faster. There's no proof to this at all, but some say, when we don't know this to be true, but some say that the universe, that the orbit of the universe is getting faster, and that the universe traveling through the expanses of the universe is getting faster. Who knows? We may be on fast forward and don't even realize it. Did you know that there was a volcano the other day and it stopped clocks? Was it in Italy? And it stopped the clocks in Italy, and all the clocks were the same, were wrong, all of them, within this area. Ever watch, all different kinds, every type of timepiece you could think of, and the whole region's time was off. And it was off the exact same amount because of a volcano eruption. I don't understand that. That sounds too much like Twilight Zone, you know. I don't know. It just sounds, that's weird. I don't know all I understand about that, but I do know this. Whether things are speeding up or not, the older you get, the faster it goes. When I was a kid, I thought I never would grow up, you know. And then things begin to change, you know. And boy, the next thing you know, it's going by pretty quick. And then the next thing you know, now months go by like weeks used to. We've got a calendar at the house, and it's one of these dry erase calendars. And every month we fill it out. That's where we keep our doctor's appointments. That's where we keep up with the different activities here at the church and birthday parties and all such. And it's in a common place where we can see it. And so that's kind of what we go by. What's amazing is that we're erasing that thing, seems like, and filling it back out on a weekly basis. I mean, it's just, I can't believe how quickly it all goes by. And I look back at everything that we did that month and how quickly it's passed. And it just, I don't know, it's just boggling to me. And we seems like that our whole lives are in a rush. And we have more time-saving devices than we've ever had. And yet we have less free time, I guess, than we've ever had somehow or another. We're consumed with all of these different things. And so I thought about what the scripture said about time and about the shortness of time. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Do you realize that some of these days we'll just be a tale? You might get a quote, maybe some of these days. "Well, oh, brother so-and-so said thus and such." And that's all you're going to get. It's a tale that's told. "The days of our years are 80, if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Isaiah said, he said, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." James said, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." The Apostle Paul said here in the Corinthians, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." So you agree with me this morning that the time is short. Well, can I say it this way? If we know the time is short, then we ought to reevaluate some things, and we ought to look at some things real carefully concerning the time that we have on earth. By the way, I do a countdown every day, and we talk about it every day on prayer time. I tell what the date is, and I say, "This is the such and such day of the year, and there are so many days remaining." I've got one lady that can't stand that. That depresses her. It tears her up how quickly time is passing. By the way, just for the record, today's the 212th day of the year, and there are 153 days remaining. So we are way over the top now as far as the break-even point. That occurred July the 1st, so we're way over that, and we're quickly going down the other side. And we could calculate here in just a handful of minutes when Christmas is going to be here and when Thanksgiving's going to be here. And, of course, we already calculate when school starts, you know, 2 weeks out. And so a lot of things, I mean, time is quickly passing. But Paul said that we should review and be careful and look at some things on the basis of the shortness of time. Look what the scripture says in verse number 29. In other words, he's focusing on the clock. So this first part is focusing on the clock. And he says, based upon the clock, based upon the shortage of time, that we need to reassess our marriages. Look what the scripture says. Or I could even go further and say our relationships. Verse 29, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now, the Apostle Paul is not saying that we should neglect our wives. But what he is saying is that we spend a great deal of time in romantic endeavors. And young people get consumed oftentimes in trying to find a mate. And I tell you what I've seen. I've seen young people that they don't find that perfect one. And so as they begin to get older and people say, well, you know, when are you going to get married? It's time. It's time that you get married. And if you're not careful, you'll find somebody else in the same situation and they'll run get married just because of the shortness of time. Nobody says you got to get married. I'm not opposed to it at all, and the Scripture's not opposed to it. But what I will say to you is, there are some folks that are so caught up, and they're so caught up in the notion and the idea. I mean, they're consumed in the whole process of finding a life's mate, or in some cases, I know some folks, they can't do anything for God for trying to make their life's mate happy. And oftentimes they marry someone that doesn't have the same values that they have. And so they would go for God and live for God and do for God, but they can't. Because they've got somebody pushing them to go in a different direction. We ought to reassess our relationships, reassess our marriage. But the Bible says in verse 30, we ought to reassess our moods. Look what the Scripture says. And they that weep as though they wept not. All of us have gloomy times and gloomy days. But I will tell you this. When I'm having one of those gloomy days, I'm not very energetic. I'm not very go get 'em. I'm not very, you know, get out and get her done oriented. When I'm in one of those gloomy states, it tends to, you know, we just coast and we just do the bare minimum to get by. I know a lot of folks that they're in that shape. And their mood is, well, my feelings are hurt, or well, I'm tired, or well, this has happened bad, or that's happened bad. And because of that, I'm just gonna stand back. I want to tell you something. We don't have time for that. There ain't time for it. We ain't got time to fight. We ain't got time to fuss. We ain't got time to feud. We ain't got time for it. I know folks, and I'm going to pick on preachers here. I know preachers that they can tell you everything that's going on in every other preacher's life in their realm of influence. And they know everything about everybody. And when you start talking to them, they start down the list of who's done what and what's gone where and what's gone wrong and this and that and the other. And you know the problem? Number one, I ain't got time to listen to that. I really don't. I spend more time on the phone than probably anybody here. But it's rarely in more than 3 to 5 minute conversations. Rarely. I don't have time to engage in a 2 hour conversation. I don't have time. My phone will beep and I'll get 7 text messages and have 14 people beep in during one phone call. By the way, if your phone call goes to voicemail, one of two things was going on. I'm on the phone with someone else and I do not interrupt phone calls for anybody except my wife and my family. If they beep in, I'll take their call. But I do not interrupt phone calls for anyone else. You leave a message, I'll call you back. Same thing's true with text. I'm going to finish what I'm doing. I hate being put on hold. I hate people leaving my conversation to go talk to somebody else. I don't even have call waiting at the house. And if I could get it off that stinking cell phone, I'd take it off of it. Because I don't like it. I think it's disrespectful. I was at a store the other day, and here I am, a cash customer, and I'm buying something at a store, and the phone rang, and the fellow said, excuse me just a moment. And he went on to take this customer on the telephone, and I stood there at the register with cash in my hand while he tried to talk them into buying this or buying the other and all the other things. I started to tell him, which is better, a bird in the hand or two in the bush? Hey, this is a paying customer, man. I got cash. That person on the phone may or may not ever come to your store. You offend the man standing at the register, you're not doing no service. Put the person that called in on hold. Eyes first. Tell them you're with a customer. You'll be right back with them. And then I don't care if you talk the rest of the day. But don't make me stand here checkout line while you search aisles for 15 minutes for somebody else's product. That's rude. Is it not? Well, that's exactly what I feel about telephone. I believe it's rude to interrupt someone to take it. And so I don't do that. So don't be offended if I don't take. I will call you back. Or unless you leave me a message. And if you leave me a message and we can have a one-way conversation and I get what I need, that works too. But what I am saying is this. We need to be careful. We need to reassess this whole thing of how we spend our time. Number one, I don't have time to listen to it. Number two, I ain't got a time to spread it and talk about it. I don't have time to be the CIA of the Baptist churches in the three surrounding counties. I ain't got time for that. Really don't want to know about it. Just be truthful with you. I sat down with a fellow one day. It was in gospel music. We were sitting there having lunch, and I said something about a gospel group. I said, "You know them?" And he said, "I sure do." And he started in telling me all the wicked things and all the things that he didn't like about them. And I said, stop right there. I said, "I don't want to know." He said, "Well, let me tell you." I said, "No, I don't want to know." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because if you tell me that, I won't ever get to be blessed by their music again." Ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know. I've shouted on their music and their songs, and if you tell me a bunch of stuff on, I don't want to know. I'm better off to be ignorant. Just go ahead and enjoy their music and shout. I don't want to know. Well, they that weep as though they weep not. And then it goes on to say, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. You know what I've seen happen? I've seen people get to high-fiving and get to carrying on and lose their focus and end up losing the competition. They're so glad because of a little milestone, and then the next thing you know, they mess up and they're in a gom, a real gom. What are you talking about? Hey, we can be distracted either direction by something bad that happens, and it just knocks us off of our foundation, and it puts us on the sideline because we just can't function because something's so bad. And then the same thing can be on the other way. We can have something so exciting and something so good, and we're so excited about it that it floors us. And we're too busy celebrating to realize that the war goes on. The battle goes on. I think about on the battlefield. They tell me that one of the hardest things in the world is to have your buddy shot down beside you, mortally wounded, and you got to push forward. You do not have time to grieve his death because your life depends on it and your other buddies around you depend on it. You'll have to grieve later. Right now you grab his gun or his ammunition and you go after the people that did that. You ain't got time. The same thing's true when you, sometimes when there's a stronghold taken, when people go, especially with young men, they'll get so excited, they get to reveling, and they get to, so, and next thing you know, they get shot. Happened in Iraq. They broke through this barrier, and they broke into this hotbed, you know, and took out all these insurgents. And then they got to high-fiving and got to congratulating themselves. But what they didn't realize was there was another round hid. Snipers. And they waited till all the soldiers put their weapons down and were high-fiving and were congratulating one another on the victory. And they mowed them down. That's what they were waiting on. Either way, if you're not careful, it can cause us problems. Our moods. I was mad here Wednesday night. I was mad at some things, mockery against this minister, some things on a national level. It made me mad. But I'll tell you something. The devil would love to get me distracted on that. Dad would love to get me distracted on that. I'm not going to let it happen. I can't. We've got to go forward. They've got things to do. Reassess our marriages. Reassess our moods. We need to reassess our materialism. The Bible says, and they that buy, getting things. And then, as though they possess not. Let's talk about grasping things. Then can I say it this way? All of us, we need to eat. We need to be clothed. I believe as God's youngest, we ought to be comfortable, to reasonably comfortable. And we have to be a part of this world system to a point. But what I'm trying to say is, it is not an issue for you to have things. But it becomes an issue if those things have you. And when those things have you, you got a problem. I know some folks that were so rich, could have bought anything and had anything, but what it is, the money had them, and they lived like paupers. It's crazy. But they wouldn't turn loose of that money. So tight. They didn't have money. The money had them. And they got to living for the money instead of letting that money live for them. And you know what they did? They died and left it to somebody else. Now the kids and the grandkids are blowing it and living big. Living large on somebody else's money. And they penny staked and grubbed and just penny pinched. Wouldn't give a dime to see the Statue of Liberty. I mean tight. Wouldn't give a nickel to see an ain't eat a bale of hay. I mean just tight folk. Squeak when they walk, it's a tight. Hey, it's one thing to have things, they that buy, but as they that possess not. Point being is, having our needs met is one thing, but getting beyond that and letting that thing overtake you is quite another. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to be laying up all these treasures on earth. We don't. And there'll come a time in your life, if it's not already there, and some of you younger families, you say, I can't imagine this, but it'll come. You'll spend your life getting things, and you'll come to a certain place that you start divesting yourself, and you'll spend the rest of your life figuring out who you're going to give those things to and how you're going to dispose of them. And they just don't mean near what they did. We had someone clean out a house not too long ago. And I'm talking about an entire house. Don't know who it was, so it wasn't nobody's relatives that I'm aware of, but they cleaned out an entire house, the entire contents. And they may have kept some memorabilia, or they may not have, because we even got pictures and stuff. But they brought us the entire contents of this little grandma's house. Her silverware, her everything, her linens, everything that she owned, including a lot of her memorabilia. They brought it to us to give it away. And as I unloaded that truck, I thought to myself, this is a lifetime's worth of collecting things and getting things. And I'm sure this meant a great deal to this little lady. And it ends up in a yard sale for $1. Or like with us, we just randomly give it away. Pictures, framed pictures of people we don't know who they are. They come off of walls. I mean, it's sad. But that gives you an idea how much stock you ought to put in this world. Our treasures will be somebody's yard sale item one of these days. Be careful. We ain't got time to be in that. Well, preacher, we're going to make a fortune. We ain't got time to make a fortune. We need to be too busy investing it in the kingdom of God. We need to be too busy doing some things with it by the grace of God. Joel's property that he just bought flooded this week. He's plumb defeated. He's whipped. The engineer told him to go out to be filled 39 inches. It's going to cost about $2,500 to put a retaining wall around it and fill it. The national road, the drainage come off of it. And when the typhoon come through, it flooded everything. Flooded their existing church, and it flooded the new property. There ain't no way they're going to be able to build on that. They got to be out of their church by the 29th. We not even got Vantage paid for. And we got Joel, and he's wanting to put a native building up in September, and they can't do it. He'll be underwater next time big hard rain comes. Can't do it. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, hey, there's a lot of things that I want to do. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. Hey, that truck that the men put together for me, I like that thing. I do. I like it. Somebody said the other day, preacher, you ought to drop a big block in it. You ought to drop one of those 480 transmissions in it. And you ought to do this and put the chrome headers on it. And you ought to do this and this. And you ought to fix it where when you open the hood, man, it's just motor, fender to fender. And where that make that thing really sharp. And you know what? All that appeals to me. But let me tell you something. I cannot, in good faith, I cannot bring myself to go and order chrome headers from my truck or even a motor or anything else as long as that's running. I can't bring myself to do things like that when my brethren are doing without overseas. I'm not saying take the bread off my table. No, as you can tell, I get all the bread I need on my table. But what I am saying is the extras and the luxuries and the hobbies and all the other material things that I don't have to have, but the things that I want. How much more could it benefit the kingdom of God, Brother Larry? The main thing, if we get focused. Somebody said, but we ain't going to have no Social Security. Well, what are we going to do with their retirement if they move a decimal on the money? Which may happen. $100,000 may become $10,000. It ain't one thing you can do to stop it. It happened in Mexico. It's happened all over the world, other places. It may happen here. Called reevaluation. In Mexico, they move 2 points. 2 decimal places. $1,000 became 10 in Mexico in one sweep. You don't believe me, do you? It happened. It sure did in the 80s. It happened. They went belly up. Hey, you got $1 million in the bank? Wonderful. What are you going to do if they move the decimal on it? How much you going to have? If they move at 1 point, you'll have 100,000. Is that right? Millions, 100,000. If they move it 2 points, you'll have 10,000. $1 million will become $10,000. How far is that going to get you down the road? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say we better reevaluate. We better reassess our motives is the bottom line, and they that use this world as not abusing it. Yes, we have to use this world and this world system. Of course we do. But abusing it. And trying to get ahead. Trying to make something. Our first primary goal must be Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. How that's going to happen, I don't know. But I believe it, just sure as I'm standing here. And the Bible goes on to say, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I was going to say, look at the clock, and then secondly, look at the closet. We put all these things into the fashion of this world, and the fashion of this world changes, and now it looks sad. A few years ago, they come out with these neat-looking colored vehicles, these fad colors. And boy, they were the prettiest things when they were new. But boy, they ain't nothing that's uglier than an old vehicle with a fad color that was in at the time that goes out, and now it's about half faded. You talk about something that dates itself. One thing about white, it's white. One thing about black, it's black. Henry Ford said, give them any color they want as long as it's black. Black, you know, and just black. And black don't, I mean, black car's black car. But I love some of these pretty colors. But boy, them pretty colors, when they go out, man. I went into a church the other day. And in the 90s, I'll guarantee you this was a show place.
They had mauve everything. And when it was new, I bet you it put your eyes out. They even had mauve window panes in their glasses. I mean, mauve carpet, mauve everything. Mauve all over the place. But I went in that thing, and that carpet is knotted. It's rolled up now, and it's got some creases in it. You trip your toe over it. And those pews where you can see where people sit on them, and they're about half threadbare. You talk about tacky. That's about the tackiest thing you've ever seen in all your life. Well, preacher, we paid extra to have it. I know, I'm sure you did. And I'm sure at the time it was pretty. But boy, when it goes out of fashion, son, does it go out. My soul in the morning. Can I tell you that we have to have the latest and the greatest and the most modern and of all that match all the other things, and some of these days all don't know that's going to matter. And Paul said, reevaluate all of these things in your life because of the shortness of time.